You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we can finally talk about preseason basketball because we've been putting it off for way too long. As always, I am Tony East, one of the hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. I'm over at 8.9 seconds. And on the other line, over with Indy Corners, is Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty well, Tony. Preseason game today. I mean, I suppose, does preseason basketball really matter?
No, it just satisfies my craving for pro basketball.
Yeah, so I was looking at
summer league only kind of counts because they're wearing like pennies and like not NBA players are playing. Preseason counts more and makes me like ready, you know.
Yeah, but so I'm looking at last year's preseason stats, and I found when I played the Cavs last year. I mean, if you look at the stats, it's so non-indicative of what the season's going to be. So in the Cavs game last preseason, Leaf had 18 points. He wouldn't be good all year. So that was the last preseason, 6 of 10. Victor was 6 of 12 for 14. Turner, 5 of 10. Turner never got 10 shots a game if he even won it last season. So, I mean, I don't know. I was looking at passes. And Collison had 4 points. Bogdanović had 3. Young had 9. I mean, Sabonis played well. Maybe that was a sign of it to come. But it's so up. Like, you know, it's so – every player is so different. And there's no, like – it's all noise, basically. There's no really, like, sound in the noise, I guess.
Yeah, they don't really play their real rotation too. So like, I don't think they run their real sets because they don't have their real rotation in. And especially with like the amount of injuries the Pacers have had, which we'll talk more about later, I feel like it's not even real like Pacers basketball.
Well, yeah, and wasn't Caitlin complaining about Doug McDermott basically not moving, being stationary?
He wasn't moving at all. He still isn't moving. He's just standing there.
Yeah. But I wonder if that's. I mean, like. I don't know if that's probably by design, right? Why not? Why show any of the things
about McDermott? Right. It's like, it reminds me of GR3, how we were complaining about how he wasn't moving when he came back from the injury.
Okay, but I just think it's like McDermott probably is going to play, what, 20 minutes a game, 25 tops? And so he's going to get so many limited kind of sets for him. So I wonder if why would you show any of the sets you're going to use if you're only going to give him, let's say you run, what, 3 to 5 plays a game, maybe?
So why would you show any of them? The team that you play 4 times.
Yeah, or why would you have anybody film in just general?
Right.
It's kind of like in football where I think what the Rams played the Raiders in the last preseason game or the third preseason game and then played them the first week of the regular season. Why would you show anything you're going to show them? Because they just get them taped to prepare for you, basically. Like you want to surprise teams.
That's why the Grizzlies game was just backups versus backups.
Well, that and I feel like teams normally don't play their starters.
They did all 4 preseason games last year.
Okay, they did. So, I should know that. Yeah. I'm looking through all the stats last year preseason. I probably should know that.
But I think the takeaways to take are, like, are the players looking as skilled as last year or more skill, you know, stuff like that, because that stuff you actually can tell regardless of the sets, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. That's kind of my biggest takeaway. Is nobody looks out of shape, which is kind of the key. Yep. I think that's a key one. And do players look like they're improving on aspects of their game? So, like, with Turner in the post, with Leaf, it's just showing like some all-around skill on the court and not looking, you know, confident at times. Like, it's just things like that you're looking for. You're not looking for anything like you don't need Leaf to go 8 for 8. You just need Leaf to look like he should be an NBA player, basically.
Yeah, and that's how we should talk about this is player by – not player by player because that would take all night. But I think we go, as we talked about before, group by group. You know, talk about highlights from each group of guys in terms of tier, like that they'll be in the rotation.
Yeah, that's fair.
We can pinpoint how we can do it. So starting with the starters, unfortunately, though, we're not going to put TJ Leaf. I'm gonna supersede you here. We're not putting TJ Leaf in the starters group, even though he started every game.
That's fair. He's not really going to be a starting rotation player anyways.
No, he's not. So we have nothing to say about Thad because he's injured. But I did hear that he's not going to play Wednesday with his foot injury. But he is going to be ready when the, quote, games that matter come. So not worried about him playing when the regular season rolls around. I'm just glad he'll get healthy from that foot thing. So I guess we can start with Darren Collison, who is taking too many of that stupid mid-range pull-up that I hate so much.
So wait, you want to go player by player, or do you want to do our best?
No, you're starter? Right. He's just the first starter I thought of, and
I was thinking we would do best, you know, best starter so far, best.
Oh, Vic, by a mile.
That's what I assumed you were going to go with that. And then do it. So let's do that. Let's do sort of we can do a couple starters because they're more important, but that's better than Vic.
Absolutely. He scored almost like 1 point per minute every game he's played, which is just insane. And he, you know, 23-6-3-2 in this Cavs game just now. And it didn't even seem like he was trying. Like he made some ridiculous off the dribble shots. He was getting to the rim whenever he wanted. He had a few nice dunks. His defense looked really good. It's preseason, but I feel like he's like almost better than last year somehow.
I think he's just sort of proved that last year wasn't a fluke. I guess
no, not at all.
Like he's showing off that his jump shot is, you know, there's a thought, was his jump shot really as good as it was? Or was it just sort of like kind of a luck and not being guarded the way he was? He sort of proved that his jump shot is a really good jump shot. It's comes out of hand quick. It's, you know, all the kind of things you want to see that improving. And then he just kind of, he also proved that he's like the alpha dog on this team. I think that's what he's kind of shown this preseason.
He looks faster, which seems impossible. Like when he pushes in transition, he's just blown by everybody. And, you know, the break is so hard to stop when he's that far ahead and like you can't shift in front of him because he'll foul. And it just makes it so easy to score. And it's just so lethal, especially because he gets so many steals.
I wonder, though, if he's trying harder than everybody else because preseason he goes 110% and everyone's going like, what, 80%?
That is the Pacers' stick, is trying harder than everybody else.
Well, I wonder if Vic is doing that in the preseason. He doesn't need to do it. That's his thing. It's not just the Pacers. That's his thing. His thing is just going 110% at all moments. You know, there's no, like, slow down him. It's push, 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 push.
I was talking to Ryan Eggers during the game the whole time, and it felt like Vic fell down a lot in this Cavs game. It was very scary.
Which is unnecessary for a preseason game.
I agree.
Well, that's the biggest thing about Vic whole year is that he's going to fall a lot, and the question is, can he stay healthy, basically? Can he not hurt his knee again? Can he not sprain a wrist or something like that, something stupid where he falls? He does fall well, though. He just falls on his like body weight, not necessarily like on his like limbs. You know what I mean?
He's good at my favorite NBA skill, the one where you're falling backwards and you somehow like push your arms simultaneously right when they're about to hit the ground and slide like 3 more feet backwards.
Which is good because that actually braces your fall. It helps you not get all the force down on your one part of your body, basically.
So Adam, so also go ahead.
Yeah. No, I said with him he also doesn't have just like kind of like when he falls playing kind of like dead man almost. Like you know when he with the bus game where you like he was dead, like he falls and he like he brings his limbs in and kind of falls on his whole body and it's not like putting his wrist down stupidly.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's good. I mean, it's less likely to get hurt that way, but I don't want him to fall as much as he is.
Well, he's gonna fall. I mean, that's his play style.
Because he's trying so
contact
hard.
Around the rim. Well, contact around the rim too. That's what he does. Right. He gets bumped around. He's not big in terms of NBA size, so he gets pushed around the rim, but he fights through it half the time, most of the time.
So Adam, you want to hear something weird?
Yes. Always.
Well, it's actually two weird things, but only one's actually super weird. Darren Collison and Miles Turner have both not hit a three-pointer yet in the preseason.
I guess it's weird for Collison particularly.
It's very weird for Collison. He hasn't taken so many, but the fact that he hasn't made any is very weird.
I do wonder with Collison, though, whether it's the preseason. He's his ninth year in the league, 10th year in the league, something like that?
Yeah, 10th, I think.
10th year, so he's – he knows what he has to do to get by in the preseason, but knows what he doesn't have to do at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I know he's playing, he played 21 in the first game, or 25 in the first game, and 20-something today. I mean, he's just, I wonder if he's not going full throttle yet, let's put it that way.
I feel like on fast breaks, he's not sprinting when he has the ball. I said that when I was watching
this. He also probably knows he only has so many more miles on his knees and legs, which he had knee surgery last year, so... You know,
yes, he did.
Again,
that's right.
A lot of this is sometimes injury. You only have so many miles. So why use unnecessary miles when you don't have to? Like, why put yourself really hard against the Cavs in October when you're going to need to have that for March and April?
Right. So Miles not hitting a three has been a product of just not having attempts. I think he's only taken two, and one was the buzzer beater of the first half in this Cavs game. It's not like they're not like going for it. I feel like they're running close to the same number plays where he sets a screen this year, but he's rolling more than last year where he popped literally every time. And they're using him in the short post kind of a lot as both a passer and a tag in the basket. He scored on a nice post move the first back to this Cavs game, although he's had a few head-scratching bunny misses in these three games. So interesting post play from him so far, I guess, is the word I would use.
Yeah, I think his three-point taking is by design right now. It's just
– I agree.
He's trying – to use his other parts of his game, he's trying to, trying to show his post game, or maybe try to work on it. I mean, I know he put up post game all summer, so he's trying to kind of put it into action. And this is a good time to kind of try that. Where again, he's not, nobody cares if he's a three or not right now. Like, it doesn't matter. So just trying new things and trying like some of the kind of the putting the ball on the floor, he's been doing a couple times, things like that are more important now because he can screw up and nobody cares.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think maybe that they're kind of altering his role too, like to not be as perimeter heavy. I don't know.
Think they're going to make him more of a post player this season. I see that, I guess.
I think so too. Maybe they're starting that mold now. You know, it's hard to say because it is preseason, but.
They gravitate towards a 3-point shooter ultimately? Because that's kind of, if they want to clear the space for Vega, is going to gravitate to him being a corner three shooter or somebody moving on the perimeter at least.
Yeah, it'll help with all perimeter cutting, which is really nice. And I do think Turner like can roll. Like he's not bad at it. He just very, very, very infrequently actually rolls. So it's hard to.
Yeah, he got that problem where he would roll to the rim and he'd always get an offensive foul because he didn't get past the guy.
Like and he has really terrible hands, so it's harder for him to catch passes rolling.
Well, and he's also so freaking big that his legs, like he can't like sneak slim by somebody because he's not small enough to kind of glide by them. He's so big that ultimately some part of his body will touch the guy that's trying to like take the contact and draw the offensive foul.
And he's doing a lot of short rolls, which I think makes more sense for the way he plays because he's good in the mid-range, so. You know, it makes some sense, but it's just been interesting to see him only take 2 threes when, you know, the unicorn status, quote unquote, floats over his thing.
Well, I'm trying to think I think I listened to the Zach Lowe podcast where he was saying Turner isn't as, maybe even told this to me. I could be blanking and told me it, but it's Turner basically doesn't care about how many threes he takes. He doesn't need to like get to 5 of them. He just wants to get his percentage up, but he wants
that was
to,
Zach Lowe. Yeah.
That was Zach Turner, right? Summer, yeah. Yeah. He was saying that how Turner doesn't really care if he's taking 5 threes or whatever the number is, but he wants to be a higher volume, like a higher percentage shooter, like in the 40%, but he wants to still be sort of a center more than a 3-point shooter. No.
Yeah. I think you could tell that by the way he worked on yoga and strength as opposed to being like nimble and shooting this summer, you know?
Well, I wonder, I don't know. I feel like the yoga thing helps with his jump shooting
with
too,
both,
right?
With both, right? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, he has a natural touch from the 3-point range for a guy his size that it's like hard not to just like, he's just a good shooter. I mean, you know what I mean? For a guy, especially that 7 feet tall, most of them that aren't named Kevin Durant are usually not that good of shooters.
Yeah, you're right. I love his height.
Giannis, who's his height, is not that good. Is a worse shooter than Turner, probably.
Way worse, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something that's unique to him. And I wonder if he's going to work on it as much because he just has such a natural shooting ability that he did the yoga because it's going to help his defense. It's going to help his overall athleticism and not necessarily to work on a particular skill set, but just to help him as a general NBA player.
Yeah, and he's had a few noticeable plays where I've seen him defending like 15 feet out where he's been fine staying in front of his guy, which is good, but they haven't really played anyone who's like notably good at that. So it's a combination of him both being better and the competition not being amazing.
When did they get their first test of like a real like team that basically has two 3-point shooters, center and power forward?
Bucks. Their second game of the season, probably.
Okay. But Giannis isn't really that great with 3-point.
Well, they have a lot of shooters around. Like Middleton's effectively a stretch four, like when they're on offense.
Because I say, who's Brooklyn center now?
Jared Allen. So no, not at all.
No, not at all. Then Minnesota might be one, I guess, depending on who's traded for what and who goes where.
It's impossible to say.
Yeah, it's impossible. And then Portland's
the shooters. It's hard to say their positions, quote unquote.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, I guess Boston will be the first test when they play Boston, but like the true test. Because everybody else has got somewhat a traditional center or traditional power forward or isn't good enough where it matters, I guess, right? On the schedule. Like New York's just not good enough.
You're right.
Yeah. Or Chicago.
Yes. The last starter that we have not really mentioned is Bojan, and I don't have a lot to say about him because he looks the same. He just cuts a lot and makes his threes sometimes.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns with him, I guess. My only thought is with him is, can he improve his defense again? But I don't think we're going to know that right now.
That's no, I don't either.
Question. Like, that was my big question. Like, last year, he made such a jump defensively. Like, he went from way below average to a guy to kind of, like, maybe right on the average defender, which is enough to stay on the court, especially with his offensive ability to stretch the floor. So I was wondering if he could – there's, like, another step he can take where he can become, like – an above average defender, somebody who, you know, you can rely on defensively at the small forward spot. But that you'll never know in the preseason. I mean, he had his classic Bojan game where he had a decent first game and a terrible second game from three and whatever. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It's just, that's the way he's up and down.
Right. I hope he's not as streaky this year, but the early return suggests
he's going to be streaky. He's going to be streaky. He's always streaky.
Yep. You want to move on to the second unit?
Best player Sabonis, right, so far?
The best, oh my God, he might even be the second best player on the whole team so far.
He might be actually the best guy through three games because Vic only played twice.
Yes, double-double every game. I mean, he's ridiculous on the glass. He's finishing inside. He even had showed some signs of using his right hand, which, like, literally changes his entire game. Yeah, he has been the star of the show.
I'll tell you what, though. The reason Sabonis does well is because defenders forget Pleasure left-handed sometimes, I feel like.
Oh, all the time.
That's a surprise. Like, oh, yeah, it's like I didn't know, but I'm watching him already. He's left-handed, and he goes with the left-hand dunk. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess being ambidextrous is going to be helpful for him, especially because he has really good touch. If he can get the same kind of touch with his right hand, that'll be huge. But the rebounding is what's looked good, and that's sort of that's how the Pacers have to be able to win with Sabonis Turner, is just destroy teams on the glass. And if Sabonis is that kind of rebounder, like can get 12 a game when he's on the, you know what I mean? That would be huge for them and kind of flip, be able to really allow them to play Sabonis Turner together, probably, if you get that many rebounds.
Yeah, they finally played. They only played 2 total minutes in the 3 games, which is very, very odd.
Well, they're not trying to show anything yet. They're hiding everything right now.
Right, yeah. And Turner didn't even play in the same game. They were they won those minutes 5-2 against the Cavs, so that's nice. But yeah, you know, he's looking like he can do a lot. And if he made his only 3-pointer he took in this game. His defense looks pretty good right around the basket too. So I've really enjoyed watching Sabonis.
Yeah, I'm sort of excited for the season because, you know, Turner kind of where he plateaued off in his third year. I'm excited to see if Sabonis can take another jump. Because if you look at it, like, Sabonis wasn't that far behind Turner's second season. He was, what, 3 points last year, maybe about the same rebounding, I think?
Yeah, probably.
And so what if Sabonis makes the – like, what if Sabonis off the bench is a 15-12 guy? I mean, that's – I don't know. That's probably a little high for him because probably – but, like, interesting to see if he kind of can make that third-year leap. But maybe he becomes the premier Pacers center and they decide they don't want Turner. Maybe – I don't know.
Realistic
here. Like yeah, it's realistic, but like I'm just saying, because the consensus right now is that Turner has a higher ceiling, but Sabonis has like a lower floor, right?
I mean, that's sort of like a higher floor, you mean?
Yeah, higher floor. Sorry, Sabonis has a higher floor.
Yes, I agree with that.
And so, maybe he breaks that. Maybe he's been hearing that and sort of breaks that mold. Like, no, I actually have a pretty good ceiling. I can be an all-star center or whatever he thinks he can be. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I'm interested to see what he can do.
Yeah, me too. And it looks like he's expanding his game a little with the right hand. He made his only 3. His defense looks fine. They're creating with him a lot in the short post, like Turner too. So I'm excited for him. I think he's added enough skills to really be a versatile guy this year.
Yeah, and I think he's I'm trying to think what I'm saying now. He's he seems like he will fit. He's going to play the center spot when it comes to. So when Turner and Sabonis play together, right, it's who's going to play center. I think offensively it seems like he's going to play the center spot to me.
I do too. I agree.
It's what it seems like. I know just because his rebounding and his offensive rebounding, which again is going to be key to them being successful, is the fact that is Sabonis kind of – can they steal 3 or 4 possessions extra on the floor with those guys on the floor and force the other team to put their bigger guys in to basically match? And that's kind of key. And I think – he's showing signs of that, but again, it's preseason and I don't want to overhype it.
Right, I agree. But he has been awesome, so it's hard not to overhype it. Another guy who I you know, there's probably 2 biggest surprises, quote unquote. This is probably the second biggest one, but Leaf has looked like an actual NBA player.
Yeah, but remember in the last preseason he had 16 points.
Or I know you were coming with this.
So I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe with him, to be honest, right now.
Yeah, I mean – for me, it's that he's showing this offensive rebounding skill that I don't remember him having at all last year that makes him better, you know? Like, it's not just a scoring skill.
Yeah, but I wonder if that's an effort thing in the preseason. Like, I'm worried that in the preseason people aren't giving as much effort as they should, and he's giving more effort. Like, he's showing high effort, and that's why he's being rewarded for that. And I don't know if that will change the regular season, at least.
That is fair. Yeah, well, I'm pleased with the rebounding still. I'm going to be happy with it until I see that he can't do it.
Well, let's put it this way. I think he's definitely earned him an opportunity to show if he can be a rotation player. You know what I mean? He'll get some minutes early on and see if he can prove himself. And if he can prove himself, he might crack the rotation because he would be the backup's power forward probably. I mean, whatever they decide.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about this momentarily, but I think he might be getting pushed out of the rotation by a guard right now.
Edmund Sumner?
Yes, we'll get to him momentarily. Adam, do not spill the beans in the lobby.
So with Leaf though, so like there also is this. I mean, they said Thad's going to play, right? But there's a concern. What if Thad gets hurt? I mean, what if he gets hurt again for a stretch? This could be kind of Leaf's moment to
Yes. Yeah, and, exactly. We said before the games, like, he might play okay with the starters, right? So maybe it is just that he's playing with the starters. Like, he could be bad again when he goes through the bench.
Well, and I don't want to make a Draymond Green comparison, but it's sort of, you know, where, like, David Lee was better, was starting over Draymond. There's no way he could play David Lee, was an all-star or whatever. But then he got hurt, and Draymond, who people didn't think was any good, got an opportunity, and he actually proved himself. Now, I don't think Lee is going to be that good, but if Thad gets hurt for a stretch, Lee gets to play big minutes and proves he can be a rotation player. It's kind of the break he's probably looking for in his career, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be huge.
His age is coming up. Thad has this foot bone bruise or whatever right now, so who knows?
Well, especially if Leaf actually proves to be a decent player, they can just get rid of Thad next year, which is going to be huge for the salary cap, because Leaf's on a cheap contract as a rookie deal.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So other bench guys that I have enjoyed watching outside of him. Kylo Quinn in limited minutes looks like the passer we thought he would be, but that's literally the only skill I feel like I've seen from him. And I don't have a lot on him because he hasn't been super impressive. You know who has not been impressive is Doug McDermott.
Was it the beginning of the show, or was it the pre-show we talked about Doug McDermott not moving? No, it was the beginning of the show. So I think they're just hiding McDermott, to be honest.
I do too. And the shot's not falling, but it's not like he's taken anywhere. I've been like, why did he shoot that? You know, I feel like they'll fall eventually.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really just think they're hiding McDermott because they're going to run some different things with him. And they're just why give it away early? And I don't know what else I can say about that, because obviously he's just not shooting that well. But that part of it is him just being a stationary shooter. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of what he is, right? Isn't that sort of what he was good at? It's being kind of the guy who sits in the corner, just gets the ball and drains it.
Yeah.
So maybe this is what he is. And if this is what he's going to be, it's going to be like a terrible contract. But I think it's a wait-and-see approach right now.
He's a good cutter in the past, so I think he will cut more when the season goes, and they just aren't yet.
Yeah, I think with him, it's a wait-and-see, too, because remember, he's the odd man out in this rotation, really. I mean, everybody else has been here. He's right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he's the only guy that hasn't been on this. It's going to – I mean, depending on – right? He's the only guy in the rotation that hasn't been on this team. Like, it's going to be – it's besides Evans, of course, but, I mean, like, of the – if he ends up playing, he'll end up playing probably with four players who've already played together most of the time. Maybe he'll play with Evan sometimes, so it'll be three, but in that sort of makes things a little more difficult.
Yes, it does.
At times. Because, I mean, like, Joseph knows Sabonis' strengths, and if they play with Thad or they play with Collison, they know each other's strengths right now, and he has to sort of, and since he's not like a dominant offensive player like Evans would be, a guy who has the ball in hand and making plays, he has to sort of fit in, and they have to figure out when to hit him at the right times and where he likes the ball to catch, stuff like that. And it's all these little things that should improve as he plays more with them, but that we haven't seen yet because he hasn't had a ton of time to be with the guys.
Basically. Right. That's super true. Like, they talk about continuity every summer with every team. Like, he just has to learn how to fit in eventually. I feel like he's standing next to guys a lot, which will be rectified as the season goes along.
Yeah, and I think he'll move more in the season. I think he'll get some more. They'll set some screens from the ball, like the with Bojan set him like the side screen for him to basically the ball top of the key for a three, and other things that will maybe make him more comfortable because they'll like kind of create offense for him to start the year before he has to kind of blend in.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break and then get to the last two guys who really are worth talking about. What's up, guys? I want to take this break right now to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats. So Vivid Seats is the best ticket buying website that there is. It's that simple. It seems like there's a million of these now. You know, everybody's trying to crack into this ticket buying market since it seems like it's a very complicated process. But I think Vivid Seats is the best one, and it makes the complicated process the easiest possible. So Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace that is dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. I've liked the Vivid Seats. Just they have something for everything. They help with seat finding, and it kind of shows you how good the seat is and how good the value is, which is really nice. It's really easy to use. It's got a great interface. I just really like Vivid Seats. So if you're going to buy tickets to stuff, I would recommend using it, including to the Pacers game, which is first Pacers game, which is just a week from now, a little over a week from now. They'll be playing all season, so many opportunities to use it. And I can get you a nice deal over at Vivid Seats. So if you're going to spend $200 or more over on Vivid Seats, I can get you $20 off by using the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On. You can save 10%, so $20 off of if you spend $200, that's 10%. Anymore, and it's a little less than that. But anyway, you can save $20 off an order of $200 or more with that code Locked On. So go check out Vivid Seats for all your ticket buying needs. It's the best in the biz. And now we'll get back to the show. So Adam, everybody was pretty pumped for Tyreke Evans. What have you liked about him so far?
I guess that he looks like he's going to be, he could be the number two next to Vic. I guess that's sort of my thought.
Yeah. You know what I like about him that has nothing to do with his fit on the team?
What?
He plays at his own pace. Like every time he has the ball, you know, he waits for the right things to happen. He doesn't go fast just because everyone else is going fast. Like he, I just feel like that shows that he sees everything at a good level when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and he also seems like his own player and not in a bad glance.
Right, right. Yes, I agree 100% with that. And you can see that in his pick and rolls with Domas. This is how it does help the Pacers. His pace thing is like he really slows down, takes his time, is all methodical, waits till the last moment when the defense clamps down on him and then dishes to him. And the him and Domas' pick and rolls have been very good.
Yeah, they have. And I also think with Evans, it's the taking control a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like you said, we slung it down. Like that. It just seems like he is comfortable sort of being in charge of the bench, which I mean, I guess he played with the starters in Memphis, but in charge of the bench unit, like he played with the bench unit, which is good because that's sort of what they need out of a guy on the bench. I mean, Joseph is a good kind of point guard, but if they need somebody to score buckets, they need somebody who can take control and almost create offense on his own. And Lance did that a lot last year, and that was not good because he turned over the ball or made a stupid shot. But Evan seems like he has the confidence and knows what he's doing in a much better way than Lance did.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the slow pacedness too. Like Lance was just go all the time. Tyreek's like really going to take his time. And
yeah, with Evans, it almost reminds me like, so in that playoff game last year in the fourth quarter against game seven against the Cavs where they sat Vic, they needed somebody who could just go in there and get them six straight points. You know what I mean? LeBron didn't play that first stretch because right. He was cramping up. They needed somebody who would just go match, you know, have a little bit of budget, just kind of go out there and could be the offensive kind of go-to guy. And they didn't have a guy like that. Evans seems like that guy, which is going to do huge things for this team in terms of regular season because they'll improve in their wins a ton because they'll win some more games, closer games like that, but it helped the playoffs significantly more.
You know who else can get a bucket whenever he wants so far this preseason?
I'm waiting for you to take the victory lap for this one.
I've been touting about him for a while. My silent affinity can go no longer. Edmund Sumner looks very good. Much better than anyone expected. It appears he's already ahead of Aaron Holiday. Already ahead. Aaron's never played a game, so that's not fair. He's ahead of Aaron Holiday in the rotation. He looks very good. He's making very tough finishes around the basket. He's dunking. His length looks good on D, even though he's only looked okay overall on D. He just looks like an NBA player, which is good because he's young and they don't have a lot of young guards on the team. And it's just good because now they have more good players.
Okay, so with Aaron Holiday, we'll get to him later, but I think you're being a little too harsh on him, but that's just an...
I wasn't harsh on him at all. I just said he's behind Evan Sumner in the rotation.
That's one of your inherent biases, not like Evan Turner and loving Evan Sumner. No, Sumner's look great, and Sumner will definitely get an opportunity, like just like Leaf, because he's played one reason to try to crack the rotation.
Yep.
I just don't know where he fits in the rotation.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. So if Sumner is to get a rotation spot, which I don't know how you can say he has or hasn't earned it. Like either way, I understand. But like, who would he not get a second unit? You know, do you move Tyreek to the three and then go like Kojo, Sumner, Tyreek, McDermott, and Sabonis and push Leaf out? Or how do you go about that? I don't know how they were going to figure it out.
So the Pacers' problem is they need a bench guy who can fit in to what they have and not somebody who is his own player because they have Evans for that reason.
Right.
Right. So they need somebody who can just play off Evans. And I don't know if Sumner can do that. I don't know if he had.
He didn't play a ton with Evans. He didn't play at all.
We just don't know. We don't know yet.
Right. He barely played with him in the three games because of injuries and overlapping. We don't know. And then you're totally right about that. And maybe they'll try it at the beginning of the year. And if it doesn't work, you know, they already can see that leaving him kind of works. But, you know, at the same time, I understand the flip side where it's hard to say, like, he hasn't earned at least a shot in a real NBA game to play. Like, he's looked that good.
Right. So the guy, the perfect guy next to Evans, what is it? A defense first
Kojo.
The defense first reliable basically point guard, which is Kojo. So I guess the question with Sumner is this year going to be a year where he's on the team all year, but he doesn't play a ton. And then next year is the year he gets his time to shine.
Yeah, that would be probably the way to go. And I think this will be like a two-way contract to go to him to develop. And maybe he gets – actually, it looks really like he will get called up at some point.
Yeah, maybe it's an NBA contract, to be honest. Maybe it's one of those like deals that Poitras got mid-year.
Yeah, I think that'd be easy.
I mean, because we also, again, injuries happen in the NBA, so who knows? And that could leave, again, could be a spot for him to kind of take, to step in. That's the thing, you know, Collison's over 30. Who knows?
Yeah, that could be his thing.
Evans gets hurt a lot, too. So
And I'd be way more confident in him being the guy who steps in now than I would have been a week ago. So that's
yeah. Great. I think for him too, it'd be good if he just is with the NBA, with the roster every day too. Yes. Being on NBA roster, getting used to NBA life.
Just hanging out with points all the time.
Which I think that's why with Holiday, when you get to him, that's kind of what's going to be important for him. Is just being in the NBA, like getting used to NBA life for a year before you have to really step into the spotlight.
Yeah, let's just jump to Holiday now then, because you brought him up. That Memphis game was really his shining moment. The two chase down blocks were awesome. 20 points was awesome. He really was looking quick and hitting shots. So the other two games, he barely played. So the Memphis game is really what the focus is. Have you liked what you've seen from him so far?
Yeah, I think offensively he could be an NBA player.
Yep.
Or Leaf, I was concerned about last. I mean, I guess I don't remember his preseason, but Reggie Leaf didn't look like an NBA offensive player at times even. He looked kind of slow shooting. Holiday's got a quick 3-point shot. It seems to go in. At least that game he played a lot of minutes, he did. I think he's definitely going to, worst case, be a guy off the bench who can drain a bunch of threes for you. Worst case, I guess I'm thinking like DJ Augustine.
That's not the worst case ever for the 23rd pick anyway.
No, DJ Augustine was the Pacers' backup point guard for what, 2 or 3 seasons during their really good run, or maybe it was just one season. He started a couple of playoff games when Hill got hurt with concussion 1 year. I mean, he was fine. He came in. He's kind of the perfect kind of bench point guard. And that's Holiday, I think, kind of could be his floor right now, in my mind, at least.
I've enjoyed his 3-point shooting. It's been, you know, I thought he would. I already knew he could shoot, but as a rookie, you never know how it's really going to look. But it's been pretty good, especially off the dribble, which is very nice. The only thing to worry about, 8 turnovers in that Memphis game when he handled the ball a lot, is a lot of turnovers. But he's a rookie. It's going to happen. He'll clean it up as the years go along, but it's one preseason game. I can't.
Same with the defense.
Right. Yeah, and the 2 chase down blocks were encouraging too. You know, he's not giving up on plays. His length's helping him out.
Yeah, I think you undersold his length. Remember we talked, you kind of, during the draft, you were like, oh, he's not really that long or whatever, but from the eye test, there's nothing like, he seems like he's got enough arms to be a defensive player. You know what I mean? It's like that will help him be a decent defensive player, those long arms.
It's got to help because it can't hurt.
No, and it's, I mean, what is Rondo? Isn't Rondo like 6 feet tall, 6'1" tall, 6 feet one, and he is like 6'9" arm ranks, and that's why he was so good on defense in his prime.
Rondo's an awful defender now, but yes, he was.
No, but when he was a great defender, the Celtics teams. So maybe, I mean, not saying Holiday's going to be that, but maybe that can work for him. He can kind of put something in that mold.
Let's do one more short break and then do the end of the roster, guys, and a question from the rigmarole that apparently is coming our way. All right, so I don't really know what to call this group of five. Ike Anibogu, Alize Johnson, Ben Moore, Omari Johnson, Elijah Stewart. They've barely played. They're technically fighting for roster spots, although Ike and Alize are almost certain to get one. Have you seen anything you like or don't like from any of those guys? I thought Alize looked pretty good in the game. He got his time to play.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I really got to watch him was in the Memphis game.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, they were the kind of guys who were playing when Adam was getting tired.
Hey, Ben Moore played in the first half a little bit.
He did. You're fair. I'm just saying, it was the kind of time where it's like, oh man, I know it was a close game, so it was back and forth, but it was kind of like, okay, I've been watching this preseason basketball for what going on. It was overtime, went 3 hours almost for the game, something like that. I was like,
I liked Alize because he could rebound and then immediately push, which is nice. You don't see that a lot from power forwards. So, you know, maybe his high motor will really get him minutes at some point. He didn't look great on offense, and he has this very awkward, like, 7-foot hook shot when he's just flying down the lane, but it goes in, so I can't really complain that much.
With Alize, I'm excited to see him work on his craft in the G League.
Me too. Yeah, he should be in Fortman a lot.
Yeah, and I will say, I did like Derek Kramer's article at Pacers blog on him. It was pretty good last week.
Very good.
So, I mean,
Pacers does good stuff. Yeah. You know, didn't look good at all, EK. Holy cow, he looked horrible in the Memphis game.
Yeah, I don't. Is he get cut at the end of the year?
He very well could. His contract is not guaranteed until the middle of July next year. He was not setting good screens. His rim protection, which is supposed to be something he was kind of good at, was not very good. 2 fouls in his first one possession. Just yuck. All yuck.
Isn't it a concern when a team brings in a third center above a second-year player? Like, isn't that a concern to me that you're not going to be – like, that's got to be a sign for you that, like, you're on the way out. And that's what I see with EK. Like, they have 2 centers already set. They've got Sabonis and Turner who are going to be their center pair, whatever you want to call them. They're going to be those two. Then he was kind of – he had this opportunity to really kind of be the Alex Jefferson spot, and they decided to go elsewhere because they obviously didn't think he's good enough, and they needed somebody they could, like, at least play if those guys get hurt. So – it's a bad sign for him, and I don't see him. I don't see him being on the team for next year, to be honest.
I don't either, especially if he shows nothing this year. So, That was a disappointing performance. Because I actually like DK pre-draft, but I'm running out of faith. I mean, and time, and he's running out of time. So we will
see what happens. He's a second round pick. Not all his guys turn out to be an
50th pick. Yeah, he probably won't amount to anything. But 2 years in the NBA, not a bad career. Between the three guys actually fighting for a roster spot, Ben Moore, Amari Johnson, Elijah Stewart. Amari Johnson showed nothing. He's supposed to be this stretch four kind of guy. He missed all three of his threes and all five of his shots. So I don't think he has a dang chance of making the team. But what do I know? Ben Moore, probably the best chance, played 25 minutes in that Memphis game and looked okay, like made some muscle plays, but didn't really leave an impression. Did he show anything to you?
Well, by playing him in the first half, it was sort of a sign they think he's going to be the guy they want to keep, right? That's
right.
Was my thought. I guess, do you think they look elsewhere for that last roster spot, I guess?
Maybe, because they have that two-way slot, and Elijah Stewart looked okay, I guess. Not awful. Maybe he'll get it. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess the thing is that we don't know who they're looking at.
Right.
Other teams that might get cut or whatever. Right? You also don't have to use a two-way spot until you... Right, you don't have to do it before the year, right? You can do whenever.
There's no point of not using it because it has no cap hit, though. You know what I mean?
But you can sign a guy mid-year to two-way, right, technically?
Right. Maybe they move someone down and then move someone up. I don't know, whatever. But, yeah, they haven't shown anything to prove that any of them belong on the roster, so I still have no idea who they're going to pick.
Yeah, the good thing is those guys probably won't do anything but be cheerleaders for the starters.
Yes, they will get G League development time.
Well, and their job is to be at the bench clapping, making funny faces and –
yes.
Whatever, you know, all the camaraderie being on a team thing.
So before we get out of here, we have a question from Marina, who, if you will remember, what player preview were you on, Marina? I forget.
Miles Turner.
Miles Turner, that's right. So if you listen to that one, you'll remember Marina. And now she has a question for me and Adam.
I've been in a couple of them.
You have?
Like three.
Yeah, not that many, but...
In the background of a couple ones where she screams at me about something.
That's all right. But usually the mic doesn't catch it up.
So she promised this was a basketball question just on
the It is. I can either make it. Do you want it like all of the league or do you want to just Pacers focused? That's the real question.
Pacers focused.
We'll do Pacers focused. And if we can, we'll do both.
Okay. So if like the Hunger Games was all NBA players and you could pick a Pacer, which one would you pick to win the whole thing? I told you it was basketball related.
Okay, so this is like, remember, was this what a while ago where I think it was Zach Lowe's dudes were like the two NBA players you want to be on a desert island with? Remember that question?
Yeah.
This is kind of like that, I guess.
I need to know.
So you're saying what if a player would win a Hunger Games, right?
On the Pacers?
If it was everyone playing, I think it was in the league.
Sabonis.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards, I would say Sabonis.
I'd pick Sabonis.
Why?
Why are you wedding? Who would you pick?
Although Sabonis might be kind of soft because his dad's from, like, he's born in America. He's not Eastern European player.
Let's draw some basketball analogies. Bojan Bogdanovic is really resourceful.
I don't like him.
Oh, excuse me.
I would eat him.
He probably grew up in the toughest country, too.
Bojan, that's true.
Players. That's true. That helps. I mean,
I don't know where everyone was born, so I don't want to say that for sure.
All right. TJ Leaf, he would get barbecued first. He would be dead first. Yeah.
Oh, this is intense. This is very intense.
Yeah, all right. Let's calm down on the coin.
Marina, who would you pick to win?
I wanted, if Lance was still there, I think it would so easily be him.
Well, that's fair.
And then if it was the entire league, I'd probably pick Draymond Green.
That's not a bad pick at all.
Not a bad pick either,
Thank
too.
Thank you. I know my basketball.
Not a bad pick. If it was the teams as Hunger Games, I'd pick the Lakers just because they have a lot of dudes like that.
I guess I'm trying to think who I pick in the whole league.
Steven Adams. I'm confident in my answer.
I might pick Giannis.
Oh, that's a good one. Or like Russ.
Somebody from the Knicks.
Russ, I feel like Russ is a soft though in his heart. Like he's in a tough face, but he's actually soft in the inside. You know what I mean?
Oh man, this is fun. This is actually a good question.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Thank you.
If we had more time, we'd go into it more.
Yeah. Oh.
Great ending to the show. But that has been it for our preseason recap for now. Adam will recap the Bulls game Thursday. We'll have player previews Wednesday and Friday. And then next week, it's time for real basketball.
Woo-hoo!
Thank God.
Woo-hoo. So get excited for that. But thank you guys for listening. And